بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 28th of April in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 16th session that we're going through the commentary of the blessed surah al-nur And I've reached verse 32. So inshallah today, going through up to and including halfway through verse 33. So verse 32. أَذِبَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ And arrange the marriage of those amongst you who are single or the virtuous ones amongst your slaves, male or female. If they are in poverty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them means out of His grace. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompasses all and He knows all things. So here is a few reports. So in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he recited this portion of verse 32. إِيَّكُونُ فَقَرَاءَ يُغْنِهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ If they are in need, Allah Ta'ala will give them means out of His grace, he explained. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala encourages them to get married, commanding both the free and the slaves to get married, and He promised to enrich them. So here Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions that one of the ways to acquire wealth is to get married. And he explicitly mentions that in the Quran. And also in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he said, Seek wealth through marriage. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited the same portion, If they are in poverty, Allah ta'ala will give them means out of His grace. So how does that work? Allah ta'ala knows best. But He promises wealth. And also there's a direct hadith. So the hadith is in Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Bazar, Tariq Baghdadi, and Hafiz ibn Hajar mentions it's Mursal. Our beloved messenger, he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, marry women, for they bring wealth. Marry women, for they bring wealth. So this is a direct report. However, it's Mursal as mentioned by Ibn Hajar, Rahmatullah Alayh. And also Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, he said, I have never seen anything stranger than a man who does not seek wealth through marriage, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised as a result of it what He has promised. And he recited the same portion. So Umar considered those people, you know, like we'd say weird, that they're complaining of poverty and they're not even thinking of getting married. He said, Allah has promised, and whose can be a more truer promise than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's? Also, there's a point here. So in Ma'riful Qur'an, volume 6, page 420. So the question here is a wali one of the conditions of marriage? So a wali is somebody who gives away the woman. So it could be the father, the uncle, etc. Is that a condition of marriage? So Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says, the scholars and jurists are unanimous on the point that according to the manner of address of this verse, I verse 32, the preferable and masnoon way of marriage is that men and women have it arranged through their guardians rather than arranging it directly. So what's the first thing the Shaykh mentions? He says, if you look at this verse, Allah Ta'ala says, arrange the marriage of those amongst you who are single. So because the wording indicates this is the better way, that you go through a wali. Then he mentioned, there are many a worldly and religious benefit in this, especially in the case of females, it is a sort of indecency that they arrange their own marriages. Also, there is a risk that this system may open the doors for obscenity. Therefore, in Ahadith, women are prohibited to contract their own marriages without the mediation of guardians. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh and some other imams, they've ruled that this instruction describes a sunnah and the preferred way for the contract of marriage. So, stopping the quote. So, if you look at the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, batil, the marriage is batil without a wali. So, Imam Abu Hanifa and some of the other imams, they state the Prophet was indicating this is not the better way. That's their understanding. Because this verse, Allah Ta'ala is saying, arrange the marriage. So he's indicating a kind of a recommendation. But then he said to the Sheikh, but if an adult girl marries someone within her own kuf, without her guardian's permission, it is a proper marriage. Although she would be reprehensible for this act, because it is against the sunnah, unless she has done so under unavoidable circumstances. So according to the Hanafis, the marriage is fine, is accepted without a wali. However, it's greatly disliked unless there was no other choice for the female, meaning then the dislike is removed. Then the Shaykh said, Imam Shafi'i and other Imams, rahimahumullah, they have ruled that her marriage is null and void if carried out without her guardian's mediation. So they looked directly at the hadith and they state that the marriage is batil without this. So note again, this is why there's a difference. You know, people say, why are the Hanafis different? And the response to that is verse 32 of Surah Nur. So again, this is why there's a, and also notice the mercy. Like I mentioned, the Hanafis, rahimahumullah, their fiqh was dominant in the Khilafat. And there was so much mercy in their fiqh. They accommodated. Another thing worth, which is worth pointing out here, there's a hadith. So the hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Tafsir Mazhari and Ma'rif al-Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked a companion, Sayyidina Aqqaf radiyallahu anhu, he asked him three questions. He goes, do you have a wife? He said, no. The second question, do you have a lawful slave girl? He said, no. Third question, do you have the means to get money? He said, yes. Upon this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in that case, you are a brother of shaitan. For our sunnah is to get married. The worst persons amongst you are those who are unmarried. And the most mean amongst your men are those who die without money. So here, very strong words from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have the means to get married and you don't, and you fear for your chastity, then you are a ikhwan al-shayateen, imagine, a brother of shaitan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the worst of you, the most mean of you are those who die without money. And this is why companions, they took this to another level. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud in a sahih hadith, because even if I knew that I had only one day left in this world, I would get married. Now think about that, what's the point? You know, we'd say that's more trouble than it's worth. You're getting married and she's going to become a widow within 24 hours. Because I don't want to meet my Lord without getting married. And this is why some ulama said it's wajib. With the state, it is greatly stressed. So note, this is also in reference to this sacred verse. And there's another point. So in Qurtubi, in his tafsir, volume 5, page 293 of the New English Translation, Ja'far ibn Muhammad, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahmatullah alayh, a man came to him and he complained of poverty. He goes, I have little wealth. So Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, rahmatullah alayh, said, get married. So the man immediately made arrangements and he got married. After some time, he came back to the Imam. He said, I'm still poor. So it was after quite a bit of time. So Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, then divorce. So he was then asked about this verse, verse 32. He goes, Allah the Almighty says in the Quran, if they are poor, Allah Ta'ala will enrich them from his bounty. So Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, he's not one of the people of this verse. I commanded him to divorce because I think he's from another verse. And he recited Surah 4, verse 130, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, If a couple separate, if a couple separate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enrich each of them from his boundless wealth. So look how beautiful. This is the fiqh. He wasn't getting wealth from marriage. That was his intention. And there's nothing wrong with that because the Quran mentions it. When he noticed he wasn't getting wealth, he came back to the imam, and the imam, for reasons best known, he goes divorce. So when he was queried about this, he goes, Allah Ta'ala mentions that if you separate, Allah Ta'ala will bless you as well. So note again, you've got to be careful when giving rulings. You can't just look at a verse and give a ruling. And this also indicates that through divorce, there's blessings as well. You know, so again, but of course, you need to take all the relevant steps. Verse 33. Oh, sorry, there's another report. The hadith is in Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ahmad, Tirmidhi, graded Hassan Sahih, Hakim Sahih, Zahabi Sahih. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are three whom it is a right upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help. One who gets married seeking chastity. And the hadith continues. So in this Sahih hadith, you have a right from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will help you. It's your right. Look how strange. Allah ta'ala has got rights upon us, which is obvious. But we also have some rights from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one right we have from him is that if we seek purity, he will help us to get married. But not purity. The other two, the hadith mentions, is a slave who wants freedom. And the third is a ghazi, a mujahid in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note, this is another narration indicating Allah ta'ala will help those individuals if they're sincere. Verse 33. Let those who find not the wherewithal for marriage keep themselves chaste until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them means out of his grace. So this is another command in the Quran. Allah the Almighty and Glorious is saying that if you haven't got the means, keep yourself pure until Allah Ta'ala gives you a means out of his grace. So what is this in reference to? So the hadith clearly indicates fasting. This, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, if you can't marry fast, this will curb the desire. And but, this is important, some people take this hadith to the extreme. So they say, I'm never going to get married, I'm going to fast all my life. That is not the intention of the Prophet. The intention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be understood from another hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, where he said, fasting is the castration for my ummah. Fasting is the castration for my ummah, meaning castration is forbidden. So how do you reconcile? You reconcile as a temporary measure. You don't make the intention to fast all your life. I'm not going to get married. Because you're castrating yourself. This is what the Prophet is indicating. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So again, this is another trick of the shaitan. Yeah. He will take you away from something better for something inferior. And that indicates how great a deed marriage is. Because fasting is an enormous deed in the sight of Allah. And yet it's temporary. Then the verse continues. And if any of your slaves ask for a deed in writing, i.e., to enable them to earn their freedom for a certain sum, give them such a deed. If you know any good in them, yes, give them something yourselves out of the wealth which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you. So now here, what's interesting, Allah ta'ala is talking about the slaves, and he's mentioning that they can buy their freedom. So going back to the hadith, that's one of the three whom Allah Ta'ala promises to help. So Allah Ta'ala is saying here, if they have the means and you see goodness in them, free them, i.e. if this is for the better cause. So there's a report. In Ibn Kathir's tafsir, it mentions, so Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he recited this verse, which I've just recited about the slaves. He then explained, this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to slave owners, if their servants ask them for a contract of freedom, they should write it for them, provided that the servant has some skill and means of earning so that he can pay his master the money that is stipulated in the contract. So Ibn Kathir said this is a way for a servant to get his freedom. Then he quotes a hadith. So this is recorded in Bukhari, Abdul Razak, Ibn Kathir, Ibn Jarir, and Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi said Sahih in Irwa Ul-Ghalib number 1760. So the report, Ibn Jurayj rahmatullah alayhi, he said, I once asked Ata rahmatullah alayhi, if I know that my servant has money, is it obligatory for me to write for him a contract of freedom? So Ata rahmatullah alayhi said, I do not think it can be anything other than obligatory. And then he quoted, he goes, Amr ibn Dirar said, I said to Ata, are you narrating this from anybody? He said, no. But then he informed me that Musa ibn Anas told him that Sirin, who had made a lot of money, asked Anas radiallahu anhu for a contract of freedom. And Anas refused. Thus Sirin went to Umar radiallahu anhu and he said to Anas, write it for him. Anas still refused. So Umar struck him with his stick and said, and he recited this portion of the verse, give them freedom if you know any good in them. Then he wrote the contract. So this is the report, Sahih. So what happened? So Anas had a servant called Sirin. So he was the famous father of Muhammad ibn Sirin, the very famous scholar and student of Anas. But this is his father. And Sirin, even though he was a servant, he earned a lot of money. He wanted his freedom. He wanted to give Anas. Anas goes, no, I'm not freeing you. So Sirin, even though he was a servant, he had a direct approach to Amir al-Mu'mineen. So think about that. So Amir al-Mu'mineen called Anas. He goes, free him. And he goes, no, I'm not going to free him. So Umar, you know, hit Anas. He goes, what about this verse? Allah Ta'ala tells you to do it. Immediately Anas wrote the contract. So this seems to indicate that it's obligatory. So now there's a few things which need to be pointed out here. So first there's another report. So this is recorded in Ibn Sa'ad al-Istabaqat, volume 1, page 74 of the New English Translation. So Abu Umayyah, he said, rahmatullah alayhi, I asked Umar ibn al-Khattab for a qitaba contract. He said to me, how much are you offering? I replied, 100 uqiyah. He did not ask for more. And he wrote me a kitab on that basis. So stop in the report. So Abu Umayyah was a servant of Umar. So he asked Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes, I want to be free. Can you write a contract for me? So Umar asked him, look how strange. He's asking his servant, how much are you offering? So he goes, I'll give 100 uqiyah. Abu Umayyah said he didn't haggle. He goes, okay. He wrote a kitab. Then he wanted to give me some money. But on that day, he did not have any money. So he sent message to Umm al-Mu'mineen, Hafsa, radiallahu anha, I have written a contract to my slave and I want to give him some of my property. Send me 200 dirhams until I will be able to pay you back. So she sent the 200 dirhams to her father. Umar radiallahu anhu then took them with his right hand. And then he looked at me and he said, Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, and he recited verse 33, if any slaves you own desire to make a contract to free themselves, write it for them. If you know any good in them and give them some of the wealth Allah Ta'ala has given you. He then said, take it. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. Then Abu Umayyah said, Allah Ta'ala did bless me in it, and I freed myself with it and received much blessings from it. Subhanallah. So look how beautiful. Umar was living the Quran. So the servant, he goes, yes, no problem. But then he, after the contract, he gave him some wealth. So the servant's thinking, why is he giving me money? Because Allah Ta'ala says it. He goes, give them some of the wealth Allah Ta'ala has given you. And he goes, may Allah bless you, meaning you're free and here's some wealth to help you. And then he says, I was blessed because Umar gave me the wealth because I received much from this. So look how interesting. When you say slave, you know, very, you know, unfortunately, a very polluted word now. All of this sounds so strange. Why? Because slave to means no rights, no nothing. Allah Ta'ala has given them rights. So now there's a few things we need to know here, which is very important. So Mufti Muhammad Ashiq Ilahi Muhajjid Madani, in his Anwarul Bayan, volume 6, page 415-7, he mentions some important things. So quoting. So first, what was the reason for the revelation of this verse? There's actually a reason. So in Ad-Dur al-Mantur, and also the same reference, there was a slave, his name was Sobeh, Sobeh radiyallahu, he was a slave. He was refused kitaba by his master, Huwaytib ibn Abd al-Uzza radiyallahu. It was then that this verse was revealed. You should enter into the contract of kitaba with those slaves of yours who desire to enter into it. So this is one report. So what caused the revelation of this verse? A sahaba refused to free another man. Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. But then the Shaykh said, this has been reported in Ma'alim al-Tanzil, volume 3, page 342, with an addition. The master then stipulated a sum of 100 dinars, 20 of which he later remitted. The slave Sobeh was a companion who was later martyred in the Battle of Hunayn. So when that companion, Huwaytib, the verse was revealed, he acted upon it immediately. He wrote the contract and he also reduced 20 dinars because the Quran was give them some wealth. So look how beautiful. As soon as the Sahaba heard the verse, they humbled themselves. No questions asked. Then the Shaykh said, since this verse contains a command to contract the deal, Ata and Umar ibn Dinar, Rahimahumullah, say it is wajib for the master to enter into the contract when the slave requests to be freed for a sum that is equal to or more than his price. However, they say that the master is not obliged to enter into the contract when the slave wants freedom for a sum that is less than his or her purchase price. So this is one view. They say it's wajib. If a servant wants freedom, contract should be made. However, there's one condition. The slave is worth a certain amount. If he says that he wants to be freed with an amount less than his worth, then no contract. Have you understood? The amount must be at least equal to his worth. However, the vast majority of scholars state the master is not obliged to enter into the contract. It will be best if he did, but he will not be sinful if he refuses. This is in Ma'alim al-Tanzil. So look how interesting. Looking at the hadith of Umar and Anas, it looks like it was an obligation. But the majority say not. It's better for the master to do this, but he's not obliged. So now if you look at the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, in alimtum fihim khayra, if you see any good in them, that's a condition. So the slave can be freed. In fact, it is either obligatory or greatly stressed to free him. If you see any good in them, what does that mean? There's a Quran, verse of the Quran. So here the Shaykh said, about the meaning of khair, any good, Dur al-Mantur, Abu Dawud and Bayhaqi relates that our beloved messenger, he said, this refers to any skill. They must have a skill. If they have a skill, then you can free them. This means if the master knows that the slave knows any skill by which he can earn, he should be allowed to do so. He should not be permitted to beg from the people. So the Quran says, if you see any good in them, they have to have a skill. That's directly from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there's other meanings. In Ad-Dur al-Mantur, Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, he did not make a certain slave of his a muqatab unless he was capable of earning. He could earn. He would say, if I were to let him earn while he is incapable of earning, I would be eating the filth of people. What the slave gets by begging, because I don't want to free him with the money of begging, because he must have a trade. The hadith has also been mentioned. Allah Ta'ala will help the slave to be freed. I mentioned that earlier in the hadith in Nasai. There's another meaning. Other commentators interpret any good as being the fact that the slave performs all his salah. So that's another meaning. He must be praying all his five prayers. But the Shaykh said something very interesting. However, this does not seem correct, because it would mean that an unbeliever can never be freed. So it would be an injustice. So again, this is a view, but that one is a strange one, but it's mentioned. There's another meaning of khair. Others have interpreted khair to mean the master is sure that after freedom, the slave will not be a burden and menace to society. He should only be made a muqatab when the master is certain of this, that the slave poses no threat to society. This is in Ruh al-Ma'ani, volume 18, page 155. So if you've got a devious slave, you know that he's corrupt and he fulfills all the boxes. But if you free him, you know he's going to cause havoc. You don't free him. So Allah Ta'ala says, if you see goodness in them, that has got four meanings. So to summarize, what are the four meanings? He must have a skill. He must be capable of earning. Praying five prayers, and by freeing him, it must not cause mischief. So this is the meaning here, with the khair. And then what does Allah Ta'ala say? Give them from Allah Ta'ala's wealth, which he has given you. What does that mean? Allah Ta'ala is telling you that when you free them, give them some wealth. But what does that mean? So in Ma'alim al-Tanzil, Ali, Uthman, Zubair, Imam Shafi'i, they understood this to mean, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that the master must remit a portion of the debt. Ali would remit a quarter of it. Abdullah ibn Abbas would remit a third. Imam Shafi'i says the master has a choice to decide how much he wants to remit. So when Allah Ta'ala says give them some wealth, it means that whatever you've decided in the contract, take a fraction, give it back to him. That's one meaning. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu remitted 5,000 dirhams from his muqatab's original sum of 35,000. Abdullah ibn Umar used to remit a fixed portion from the installments of his muqatabs and then remit an unspecified part of the final installment. So what does that mean? So if the arrangement is made and the slave is paying in weekly installments, let's say, Abdullah ibn Umar would let a fraction of that go back to the servant. But at the end sum, he'd give them another fraction. So that's one meaning. The second meaning. Another meaning of the above verse, it is addressed to all the Muslims, not only the masters of the slaves. This means that all Muslims should assist muqatabs to pay off their debts. So when Allah Ta'ala says, give, some ulama said he's not just talking to the master, he's talking to all Muslims. They should aid the slaves. You know what? Can he pay? I'll help him. According to other, the third meaning, according to other commentators, it means that the people should give zakat to these muqatabs. They are entitled to zakat because they have been cited as one of the recipients of zakat in Surah Tawbah. So in Surah Tawbah, Surah 9, verse 60, Allah Ta'ala mentions the categories who are entitled to zakat. One of them, he mentions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa fir riqab, those in bondage, they're entitled to zakat. So who are these in bondage? They want to be freed. So look how interesting. You can give them zakat. Allah Ta'ala has gone out of his way to mention them in Surah 9 verse 60. Then there's a very interesting, so there's three meanings. So Allah Ta'ala says give them wealth. What are the three meanings? It means the master remits a portion. That's one meaning. Second, other Muslims help to help him. They help to free him. And the third is, there is zakat eligible. To look how strange. Technically, he could be freed with total zakat money. Look how, you know, interesting. Now, why is this so important? Because people don't study Quran. Slaves, they promote slavery. And they go, look at it again, are you? They wear kachi and, you know, in lock and shackle. Listen, what's that going to do with Islam? All I'm mentioning today, look how strange it sounds. Hey, what's this? MashaAllah, Quran's been opened up again. Now there's another thing which is very interesting. There's a hadith. The hadith is in Mishkat. Bara ibn Azib radiyallahu anhu relates, a villager once requested Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me of a deed that will take me to paradise. Rasulullah said something very interesting. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, free a soul or a neck. Free a soul or a neck. So the villager said, Ya Rasulullah, isn't that the same thing? Free a soul and a neck. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no. Freeing a soul means that you free a slave in your possession. Freeing a neck means you assist one to pay their price. Allahu Akbar. Look how the Prophet was living the Quran. He was the manifestation of the Quran. The Sahaba didn't understand. So what did he ask? Look how great a deed it is. You know, people don't understand how great this deed is. When you free a slave, the Prophet said, this is the deed that will take you to paradise. Or you assist. You're helping people to free their slaves. So, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, he freed 35,000 slaves. Rasulullah then explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, free a slave or help to free a slave. Now another thing. Is it obligatory to remit? So somebody goes, okay, the Quran is saying, you've set a price. Do I need to give a fraction back? Is that obligatory? We know it's a good thing. But is it obligatory? Alama Jassas, rahmatullah alayh, in Ahkam al-Quran, volume 3, page 322, he said, the master is not obliged to remit any part of the slave's debt. Of course, it would be considered an act of virtue if he did. This ruling is from the likes of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Abu Yusuf, Imam Muhammad, Imam Zufar, Imam Malik, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahumullah. He cites proofs which refute the stance of those who say it is obligatory to remit a part of it. So look how amazing. Without going too deep into the verse, Allah Ta'ala, it appears like He's ordering something. It's an obligation. But do you notice? They're not obligations. So some people make the mistake. If it's in the Quran, it's wajib. I've heard people say that. And that shows they don't study the Quran. No, it's not. Not everything in the Quran is wajib. It could be recommendation. And look at these commands. Allah Ta'ala is giving commands, but He's encouraging it according to the majority of scholars. Subhanallah. And also, just to add this to finish, the law of slavery in the legal sense is now obsolete. Somebody goes, well, these commands don't really apply now. They've gone. Whilst it had any meaning, Islam made the slave's lot as easy as possible. That's the key point. So obviously, he said, look, there's no slaves now. You know, we become civilized. Not really. They think they become civilized, right? But then you say, well, it was a problem. Islam set rules and regulations to deal with this problem. And notice their slaves' lot was as easy as possible. Allah Ta'ala was making their life as comfortable as possible. Not they are under your, you know, command, your whims and desires. In fact, they've got rights over you. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, let them eat what you eat. Let them wear what you wear. So imagine, if you're a billionaire and you got a slave, technically in Islam, he needs to be living like a billionaire. Which slave? Imagine, is he a slave? Right? He goes, yeah. Where is his chains? Right? Well, that's yours. You know, example of slavery. Subhanallah. And just to add, sorry. In Baghawi, Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir stated this was the preferred opinion of Ibn Jarir. Hassan al-Basri, he said, he recited this portion of the verse, where Allah Ta'ala says, give them something of the wealth which Allah Ta'ala has given you. He explained, this is the share of wealth of zakat that Allah Ta'ala stated to be their right. So Hasan al-Basri explicitly said that the verse when it goes, give them some of your wealth, is referring to zakat, which I mentioned is one of the three meanings. So I'll recite the passages and we will conclude. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وأنكحوا الأيام منكم والصالحين من عبادكم وإمائكم إن يكونوا فقراء يغنهم الله من فضله والله واسع عليم وليستعفف الذين لا يجدون نقاحا حتى يغنيهم الله من فضله والذين يبتغون الكتاب مما ملكت أيمانكم فقاتبوهم إن علمتم فيهم خيرا وآتوهم من مال الله الذي آتاكم. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والتواصوا بالحق والتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله.